to lesbiasian.com. That's lesbiasian.com. This is Faith.
This is Tawny. Today we're going to talk about street harassment. We discovered this Hollerback iPhone app where you can report being harassed on the streets by sending a written statement of what just happened to you or taking a picture of the person harassing you or just the situation. How often do we actually get harassed on a daily basis when we were like walking just like to the store or like going to court or something? Oops, I just totally just said your thing.
It's not a normal thing. It's not an everyday thing. Oh, it just happens to be going to court. I think, oh, getting coffee or something. I don't know why you have to be like going to court. I would have used that example, but I was actually thinking of sharing that example, but for you to be like, oh, just your everyday thing, like going to court.
Okay.
Maybe from well, Compton I was leading, or something.
I was leading into what maybe you would say. So we as women experience street harassment like all the time. I know I experience it. I know Faith experiences. Our friends experience it. And it's a really annoying and actually very violent thing that happens so much that it's just a woman's reality to have to deal with annoying men like hollering at us. We discovered this Hollerback app on the iPhone, and it was created to give women an opportunity to voice their experience and so that they can collect this data to send to business owners and also policymakers so that they can address the problem where it's happening. And this movement started in New York City, and now they have sites set up all over the world and all over the country. Unfortunately, Seattle isn't one of them, although we could probably use one, but we can still report it through their app. You can check out their website at ihollerback.org. That's ihollerback.org.
So what is street harassment exactly? Well, it's basically anything that anyone says to you that is unsolicited and makes you feel uncomfortable. And according to the ihollerback.org website, they give you some pretty concrete examples, ranges from anything such as comments about someone's appearance, your gender, sexual orientation, etc., vulgar gestures, sexually explicit comments like, hey baby, I'd like to get a piece of that, to leering, whistling, barking, kissing noises, following someone, flashing someone or exposing oneself, blocking someone's pathway, sexual touching or grabbing, such as touching someone's legs, breasts, or butt, all the way down to the nastiness of public masturbation. So it encompasses a lot of different things, and I know that as women we do experience this on a daily basis if we go out in public. And it's really annoying that we can't walk down the street without being quote-unquote hollered at or being harassed by some male, like Tawny kind of alluded to. I was at court the other day trying to take care of some traffic stuff, and even in the courthouse there was a security person right there, and this dude kind of looked at me and said, hello. And I've come to the point where I don't feel like I need to give any sort of male any attention back unless, like, I feel like it. And I did not. And he was intruding in my space, so I just ignored him. I kept walking, and he got really agitated. You can't say hello back. And I continued to ignore. And he got more and more agitated, continued to yell at me, and was really rude. And I was just like, really? Even in a courthouse with, like, these security folks around, you're still going to yell at me down the hallway in a courthouse? I feel like it's really ridiculous. And you know, this is one example of where they feel so entitled to women's space that they can feel comfortable in saying whatever to us and expecting a response back. And, you know, the more you don't say a response back, the more you ignore them, the more they get agitated. And, you know, unfortunately, that was just one example. But, like, you know, I have many examples. Like Tawny said, it's simple from even going to the grocery store, visiting a friend's house. I was just parking my car and just needed to walk like half a block down to my friend's apartment. And in that process the other day, I had this dude try to tell me how to park and then, you know, smile at me and then expect me to be grateful or thankful back, where I'm like, I'm very capable of parking a car by myself. I don't need his help. But it's this male thing where they feel entitled to women's spaces to say or do whatever they feel like it.
Yeah, it's really annoying. And I know we've experienced it together where we're walking back to the apartment and these drunk guys was walking towards us and what did they say to us? Do you remember?
Oh my god, are you talking about those white dudes?
Yeah.
Oh god, that was really annoying. Yeah, we were walking up into Tawny's apartment and these white guys walked past us and they were just saying, hello. It was another thing where they were like trying be friendly.
They were trying to say,
friendly.
Yeah, they were trying to say hello to us. We like ignored them.
And that pissed them off.
That pissed them off, and they start like
talking, like saying racial slurs.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden they were like, well, well, you're something about us being chinks or something, you know, something along those lines of our race. And then went as far as to be like, they're sexually harassing us at one point, because then after that, they're talking about like Asian dudes' penises. Like, I care about Asian dudes' penises as a lesbian, you know what I mean? But like, it's heterosexist all on many levels. And it really pissed us off. It was like right in front of our doorstep.
Yeah, it's really annoying, and it's actually very violent that this happens like all the time, and violent in the way that they could literally be violent towards us, or it's violent when we start to internalize it within ourselves, and it starts to happen with us because it happens so often that we stop kind of talking about it. We'll each have our individual like reaction to it. Usually it's a pretty intense, visceral reaction. We're either angry or scared or something, but we would have a reaction, but then we would not talk about it with each other. And we thought that was really not healthy, and it wasn't okay, because when you're not talking about it, you're internalizing it, it becomes normal, and that's just not healthy. So we, at some point, realizing this, and then we start to talk about it and talk about the different things that we've done in the past and how we respond and why we respond in the way we do and how we feel safe. Or what is safe for us and how we protect ourselves in those situations.
Yeah, we for sure started talking about it more because, well, it kind of started with Tanya and I kind of debriefing a little bit about how fucked up situations were after it happened, all the way to the point where we got so tired of debriefing all the time and processing it that it did become really normalized. And then I remember it was this one time, actually, for me, that I went to the grocery store. I was there without Tanya, and this male of color was saying hello to me, smiled very nicely in the grocery store, but he wasn't an employee or anything. He just felt he can say hello to me, and I didn't feel like being friendly back. For me, since it was a male of color, this is like where Tanya's conversation started, was that I shared with her that I feel somewhat obligated sometimes to say hello back when I feel like the person might just be intentionally being, the intention behind it is not necessarily sexual, but like they're being quote-unquote friendly, but at the same time I'm looking at it as like, this person obviously feels like they can say hi to me as if they respect a reaction back, you know what I mean? And I know for me it's very clear that if some white male were to try to talk to me, that I feel very comfortable ignoring them, because I understand racism, where I'm like, I don't need to give any white folks any of my time. But in this situation, I didn't understand at that time that when a person of color that is male, I'm looking at just the race aspect as opposed to the heterosexist aspect of it, of him like being entitled to my space. So I always felt obligated to say a hello back when a male of color said hi, or if a male of color smiled at me or something, I felt obligated to acknowledge that person back because I didn't want to be seen as the racist person. Whereas if on the flip side, it's like he doesn't consider himself being sexist at all. You know what I mean? Like, he's not thinking about my oppression as a woman of color, but I'm sitting here thinking about his oppression as a male of color. And at that time, I was like, wait, I don't feel comfortable doing this. So I talked to Tawny about it, and we realized at that time that we always responded to men, and especially men of color, just to show that we weren't afraid of them sometimes. It's like, one thing is to be aware of racism, but at the same time, it was to be like, well, I'm not scared of you, because so many people are like, well, we're scared of black men, we're scared of, like, other men of color. And it was my way of being like, well, one, I don't want to be racist. And for two, I'm also not scared of you. So we realized, like, in any way, like, both things are, like, reacting to them. And that we were just playing right into, like, our Stockholm syndrome of sexism. And that we needed to always to respond to them in some way to either please them or not please them. But it was always in reactionary to them.
Yeah, and to feel obligated to respond to them to show that, you know, we're not afraid of you or whatever. And that doesn't come from nowhere. It's like, it comes from the system.
Real experiences.
Yeah, the system of the class of men murdering, harassing, raping women. So it's not just about racism. It's like really about sexism and the Stockholm syndrome. We had the discussion about that instance that, you know, Faith experienced at the grocery store, and we just decided at that point we shouldn't feel obligated to respond to anyone just because they're entitled to our space. Even if they had the best intention, it's like we are still positioned in a certain way. Like, as women, men are also positioned in a certain way that is actually kind of disrespectful to, like, cross that boundary.
And it makes sense, because as women, like, how often do we feel safe enough to say hi to someone, right? When a male is saying hi to us, we have every right to be justified in being like, well, I don't know what his intention is. And even if that person is very, very well-intentioned and just trying to be friendly, it is my choice. It is our choice to say whether or not we want to respond. And if we choose to not respond, that person has to respect that. And just walk along, mind your own business if you're not getting a response back, as opposed to getting angry and trying to demand it. And that's where I'm like, more 9 times out of 10 is what happens, is you choose to not respond to some mail, and very clearly he obviously was not being that well intentioned when right after that he calls you a bitch or like starts screeching at you because you don't say hi back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, how often is it where it's a woman trying to like say hi to you, you know, on the street and demand your attention?
Like another woman smiling at you and like you don't smile back and she's like, bitch. Never. Never. Women are not taught to like say hello to one another like that. And we're not taught to speak.
Also, I know one of my friends, she's like really pissed off about this too, because one day she's walking to school, you know, minding her own business, trying to like get to her class, and she looks over and there's this guy sitting in his car masturbating and kind of like motioning towards her or something. And it was just like, she was sharing this with me and I was just like, really?
No,
like,
that's just disgusting. That happened to my friend too. Yeah, she was just walking down the street and this guy in the car was like, hey, can you come here for a second? And he kept motioning for her to come closer and come closer. And she was just like, what the fuck? I don't feel safe in doing this. But of course, she felt obligated to. So she walked a little closer and realized that he was friggin' like jacking off. And she was totally surprised and was obviously like harassed at that point, you know, and had to run off. I think it's so disgusting. It's so disgusting and it pisses me off. And I've gotten to the point where, you know, you have to think about your safety and all this is, you know, problematic. Is you don't want to be the passive one where you leave a situation angry at yourself, because we place so much burden upon ourselves where if we leave a situation, we didn't say something, then didn't speak up for myself. But at the same time, we've had plenty of situations where we've heard about women that defend themselves. And what happens? The system is not there to support us either. There are women that get locked up for defending themselves. Literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's never like a situation that is completely safe for you, because you can be that woman walking down the street and then if you get harassed, you want to be able to stand up for yourself. But at the same time, like, who's going to have your back in that? It could very well get turned around on us. I remember that one time Tawny and I were out with another lesbian couple, another Asian lesbian couple. We're on the elevator and this black dude was, you know, as soon as the elevator door opens, he sees us and he's like, whoa, whoa, konnichiwa, making all these assumptions about us, being hella racist. And I was so pissed, you know, and this was like after, like way after Tawny and I had that conversation about not letting men be like entitled to our space. And we started cursing him out. You know, we found out later that he actually like touched one of our friends on her head, which in Cambodian culture is extremely disrespectful. It's like a big, like it's sinful to do that, to touch someone, because that's like sacred part of your body. And I was so upset and I was thinking, you know what? We could have taken him out. We would have jumped him. And you know, I hate that, because then you go to this other extreme where you could potentially put yourself in a violent situation. And like I've said before, the system is not there to support us. So we would have gotten in trouble for that.
Someone saying something to you isn't necessarily viewed as violent. But that what he did, like what he said to us that was racist, was very violent. Him and touching her was very violent. And for us to have that reaction towards him, and then if we were actually to act upon our, you know, how we felt in that moment, then that would have been seen as violent, but not like everything that he did, right?
And then what happens? Like, we carry it within our bodies. It's like hovering throughout the night. We're all pissed off about it. It takes a while for us to let it go. And yeah, you know, he just went about his day, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about it for days afterwards. We were pissed for days. And then Faith and I, we reacted in a very, like, really angry and visceral type way. Whereas our friends, they were more passive about it. And they, like, you know, they just kind of brushed it off. Didn't want to, like, you know, really react. I know they were hella pissed. Or they had some reaction to it internally, but they didn't really respond outwardly. And so that's, like, that's really violent right there, you know, like what they had to experience internally, what we had to experience for days afterwards. And now we're talking about it and I feel really pissed off again.
Well, I mean, ultimately, we don't have to put up with that shit. And I have gotten to the point where, like, I'll walk down the street and I carry around pepper spray. I mean, it might be different for other folks. I don't know, depending on where you're at in whatever country you are, whatever city you are. But I feel like women as a class of folks are always much more vulnerable than men when walking down the street, wherever you are. And so I walk around now with pepper spray and I am not afraid to use it. and I am not afraid to curse some dude out. And from now on, we have been for a while, if some dude tries to talk to us, we ignore them. We will choose if we feel it's appropriate to respond.
Yeah.
And it'll be our choice if we respond. They just have to get used to it. Like, you know, it's not normal. It's not okay. And the more women do not respond, maybe the more that, you know, maybe they'll get it. That is not okay. But the more women are kind of like, well, I don't really feel like responding. I just feel obligated to. It's not that big of a deal. Let me just say hello. It's not that big of a deal. It's like, why do you have to compromise yourself? So the more women don't do that, don't respond, maybe they'll get it.
Yeah, but it's not really on the shoulders of the women exactly. to, like, not respond or respond or whatever. It's really the men that needs to, like, really respect women's space. Us women, we can only do so much. And which is why I appreciate this app, this iPhone app, ihollerback.org, starting this movement of, like, reporting street harassment and hopefully organizing something so that we can actually address the bigger issue, which is sexism.
I really love it. And like, even if you don't have the app, you know, you don't have an iPhone, you can access the website online and report it online without having the actual phone app. I think it's great because it's one of those things where you get to put the perpetrators on blast because women are kind of thrown on the internet quite a bit, you know, overly sexualized. There's like pictures of women half naked, whatever. And women are always put on blast on the internet, but then all these perpetrators are walking around, these rapists, and we don't get to see what they look like, you know, unless they're a certified sex offender. But, you know, there's plenty of men out there that continue to be perpetrators without getting caught. I think this is awesome that iHollerback has created this so that we can finally put the perpetrators on the forefront too. And they can be embarrassed. They can't just walk around the community living their lives and harassing folks without any sort of consequence. So check out the website, iHollerback.org. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time,
Lesbiation for Life.